Everybody knows the famous line, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor, that Bnei Yisrael camped there, opposite the mountain, opposite Har Sinai. There's a famous, it's a very funny Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi says, normally when people go to a mountain, what they do is they keep their backs to the mountain, and they have their backs to the mountain, they're looking out. They use the mountain for sort of shelter, something to protect them from the wind, from the sun, from anything that might happen. Now their back's there, and then they look out to see if any enemies come or anybody goes around there. That's how you normally camp. Bnei Yisrael camped Neged Ahor, which meant that they were facing the mountain, with the mountain directly opposite them, meaning they had their backs to the rest of the world because they couldn't care less what was happening in the rest of the world, and they only concentrated on what was there in front of them. But there's more to it. Everybody knows the Rashi that everybody was Ki'ishachod B'Leivachod, that all Bnei Yisrael were there as one man with one heart, that everybody was there in order to be involved at Har Sinai. And that was a true Hachana for Kabbalah Satorah. For them to accept the Torah and to get the Torah and receive the Torah together at Har Sinai, they needed it to be given not to Yechidim, not to individuals, but to Klal Yisrael as a whole. That they had to be together, they had to feel like they were together, and that's that. And the truth is, we all know that 1 + 1 = 2. But sometimes 1 + 1 can be 5. And how is that so? If it's individual ones, then 1 and 1 is just 2. And that's all you come out with. You've just got 2. Sometimes 1 + 1 is really only 1. And that's that. But there are times where if one is adding on to the other person and they're going together, then 1 + 1 can be 5. It can become more than just a regular 2. They have more power together. They're able to work together. Rashi says it straight out in Parshas Bechukosai. Parshas Bechukosai, when it goes through the brachos before the close, Perek Chavav Pasachet, it says it very clearly. V'radfu mikem chamisha mea. 5 of you will be able to chase 100. U'mea mikem revava yerdofu. And 100 of you will chase 10,000. 5 to 100 is 1 to 20. 100 to 10,000 is a lot more than that. We're dealing with 1 to 100. That means every one person is chasing 100. How does that work? And the answer is, Rashi says, Eino dome muatin ha'osina satora lemerubin ha'osina satora. It's not comparable when you have a few people working with the Torah together to many people working with the Torah together. When you have many people working with the Torah together, they all get together and they work together with one another, it becomes more powerful. They're able to do more together. Their power is greater. And that's the idea. That Torah can be grasped. Torah can be enhanced by the fact that it's not just one guy working by himself. It's people working together. And hence, you have the whole concept of a chavrusa system. How we work with having a chavrusa and learning together. How we work with shiurim and chaburas and making sure that there are groups of people learning together. It's not just one guy learning his own. Anybody can learn on their own. That's not a big kunz. Anybody can just pick out a sefer and do whatever he thinks is right because everybody thinks they're smarter than anybody else. Our system was created in such a way that you need a chaburah in order to bring your learning up. The famous mashal is given by the Brisker Rav. It's not even a mashal. It's a real story where the Brisker Rav was once shown a notebook of a person who was famous that he used to sit by himself all day long writing down his Perushim in the Chumash. And they brought it to him after he had passed away, and he took a look at it, and he took a look at one of the Vortluch that the guy had written down in his notebook. He took the notebook, threw it straight to the fire. He said, "You don't learn with a chavrusa, you have nothing. You have nothing. You don't even know that you're saying something stupid. You have no clue. Because nobody's correcting you. Nobody's saying that's the most obvious thing I've ever heard in my life." It's the point, although it's not used in the right way, of what a haskama is for a sefer. Of what it means to get a haskama for a sefer, to go to somebody for a haskama. Because of course you think this sefer is worth writing. You wouldn't have written it if you didn't think it was worth writing. To go to somebody else and say, "Do I need a haskama on this sefer? Is this a sefer worth writing or not?" is already, then the person says, "I think this person is what to teach all of us. He's really done well with this." Because when you don't have a chavrusa learning it with you, when you're not working together with somebody else, you could be completely and totally off. That's the idea. But there's a catch to this. It works to learn with a chavrusa if you want to work together with the chavrusa. But sometimes 1 + 1 = -3. That if you guys don't want to work together, and a chavrusa is learning one way, and the other guy is learning the other way, they really, forget about enhancing, they're totally destroying what the whole concept of Torah is all about. There's nothing left. They don't have anything with one another. And not only that, but they destroy what they've already had. They fight. They don't listen to one another. Or they battle. Whenever you have a chavrusa that does that with you, then you completely lose out of what you could have accomplished if you were learning by yourself. You wouldn't have had anyone to battle with. I mean, now you have a phone. But even without, you have the ability to get around it. And that was the difference between Matan Torah and the Kimu V'Kiblu by Mordechai Vester. By Matan Torah, there was a concept of Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, and people were together. But they weren't yet at the point where people were enhancing their learning. It was 1+1, and people wanted to work together, and they wanted to be with one another, and there was an achdus between one and the other, and they had one lathe, but there wasn't an enhancement that could have been done. It wasn't the same amount. But when there's trouble afoot, and you know that you have to fight together, you have to act in unison in order to fight a war against the Amalek, and they know that they were saved together, then there's camaraderie. There's mishloach manos ish l'reihu. There's matanos l'avdonim that's given over to those who are not as good as you. And there's that concept of everybody being together in such a way, when Haman was there and tried to destroy the Jewish people, and the people found this idea of, we're really all one. Even though we're different, even though we all think differently, and even though we all act differently, it doesn't matter. The Jewish people are all one. When people did that, then all of a sudden, it became such a level of Torah learning where everyone was enhancing each other. They were in a euphoric that feeling of, we're all brothers with one another. That made them realize Kimu V'Kiblu. They really need the Torah, and they can only make the Torah even greater. That's the level that they got to by the times of Purim. Rabbi Jonathan and Rosenblum, or Jonas and Rosenblum, depending on which magazine you're reading, has a famous story that he tells all the time about how he decided that he wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael and become firm. He was there in Israel, just visiting. And as he was visiting, he was on a bus, and it was right at the time when Entebbe had happened. Those who know, when the plane was hijacked in Eretz Yisrael, and everybody was, and there was a famous, and Rav Huttner was on the plane. It was an unbelievable little act, and they were brought to Entebbe in Africa for them to for the terrorists to get their demands taken care of, and the Israelis staged I don't know what you want to call it, a secret mission to be able to save everybody, and they did it. They accomplished it with one casualty, as we all know, Benjamin Netanyahu's brother, right, Prime Minister Netanyahu's brother, was the only casualty, and that was at the very, very end, but everything was unbelievably successful. So they were announcing it on the bus. At that moment, when he was on the bus, they were announcing that everything had been successful. Unfortunately, it was one death, one casualty, but everything else was successful. They had gotten all the terrorists were dead, or they were captured, and everybody else was there together with them. They were all there. He said that feeling on the bus was that feeling of where every Jew felt like a brother to one another. They were all brothers and sisters looking at each other like, we did it, we all got it together. The bus driver stopped the bus, they started clapping, they started going around, and he felt right at that moment, Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblum says, felt at that moment, this is what it means to be a Jew. Because when there's a trouble, and there's something that we got out of together, when something happens, then all of a sudden you feel like you're connected with everybody. Then everybody enhances one another. That makes something real. That's the concept of what Purim was supposed to be all about. It's Yom Kippurim when it comes to Yom Kippur. It's like Purim, but nothing is like Purim, because no matter how hard you try in Yom Kippur to come to the level of where you realize there is a God and there's someone out there, and how you love everyone, you want to work together, it's only Kippurim. Nothing is compared to a day like Purim where they mamish have achdus, where you're giving gifts to one another, where you're working together. Nothing can be exactly like Purim. That's the concept of Ahava, the level of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu trumps the level of Yira, of awe or fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind it. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. This is brought down by the Sikhos Musar, Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim brings down in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Afchot, Sheker Achein, Hevla Yofi, Isha Yiras Hashem Hisisal. He says the following, Sheker Achein refers to the door, the generation of Moshe and Aaron. The generation of Moshe and Aaron. Hevel Ayofi, a higher level, was the door of Chizkiyahu, where even the children and the women knew everything there was to know about Tumah and Tahara, where everybody in the generation knew everything. But Isha Yiras Hashem Hisisao, a woman that fears Hashem, the greatest of all the generations, was the door of Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Eloi, one of the later generations of Tanoim. Why the door of Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Eloi? Because 6 Talmidim wrapped themselves in one talis, and they learned together in one area. That cannot be done unless you're machshiv the person next to you. If people are only thinking about themselves, if they have no consideration for the next person, if there's nothing else there, it's impossible to be able to come to that level. To be able to come to the level where six people are wearing one talis, six people are huddling together in order to make sure that everybody is taken care of. The level of Rabbi Yehuda Loi was a greater level than Moshe and Aaron, than Chizkiyahu Hanavi, who Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who everyone says could have been the Mashiach. It's a greater level, says Rabbi Loi, because when you're Moser Nefesh, giving of yourself, I mean, I have a shirt, right? I don't want to have to share it with my friends. When you're willing to give your shirt to someone else so he can go to Shir, or better, it might be something that everybody here would be willing to do, but when you're willing to give up your shirt so that the other person can get something that you really want, right, can get something like that, then your chavrusas become greater, then the learning becomes greater, then the Torah that's formed from those times can be greater, and it's not us saying this, it is greater than the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, than the generation of those people that received the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's ridiculous. It's not even a normal line to say. And if you would say something like that to somebody who wouldn't know that it's in a Gemara, it sounds like Kfira. What do you mean? That Tanoic period, 2,000 years after the Torah was given, was greater than the time when the Torah was actually given? That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. But it's true. It's a Gemara that says it straight out. The Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi was greater than Moshe and Aaron. It's such an unbelievable level, because the greatest generation was the generation with their love for one another brought them up to such heights. So how does that happen? How do you bring that about? How can you make that become your level where you are machshiv everyone around? So there's a chayyadam. Chayyadam brings down in Samach Gimel, Samach Zayin, Halacha Gimel, that says that the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em can be accomplished through machshava. And machshava means that you think your parents are great. Because you can go through all the actions of machil and mash and mashke and stand up for him and everything. But if you really think he doesn't deserve it, you really haven't accomplished the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. See, Kibud Av V'Em, we might translate it as showing him honor, but that's not really what it is. It's actually being mechabed, your father and your mother. Actually having the kavod for them. And the only way to have kavod for them is by thinking that they deserve kavod. If I don't think they deserve kavod, it doesn't matter what I do for them. It's not out of honor. It's because I'm forced to do it. Or because of whatever other reason. You're not really accomplishing kibud av v'em. You don't really get anything. The mitzvah doesn't exist without that first part. And that's a massive, massive issue. Says Rav Chaim, Sichos Moser, it's possible that that's the same thing that applies by Kabur Khadir. Everybody wonders, what was it that Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim did or didn't do that caused them to die? What does it mean? Shalom Nahagu Kavod Zelazeh. They were Talmidei Chachamim. They were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. What do you mean they weren't Noi Kavod Zelazeh? What does that mean? It's that they didn't consider them greater than themselves. They didn't consider them any better than just another regular guy. That's not Torah. That's not the Torah that we want for the future generations. You want a Torah that works with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nechamiah, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimba Yochai together as one. If you work together, then you can have a Torah that lasts. But if it's just individuals learning in all these places, and that's why the Gemara says that all the Talmidim were coming from Antipras, from all the way from Greece, all the way down to the bottom of Eretz Yisrael. If you have Talmidim everywhere, but they're not learning together, it's not Torah. That's a nice amount of Chochmah. That's a great book. That's all it is. But it's not Torah. Because you're not working with someone to come up with a pshat. And that's not considered real Kavod Chaverim. The way to have that Kavod Chaverim is not by faking it. It's by honestly feeling about another person that he is greater than me. Maybe not in many things. Maybe not in everything. But he's greater than me when it comes to certain aspects. Trust me, if I didn't think that about all of you, I would have killed you long ago. You have to have that feeling. It has to be there. And you have to show it. That you mamish feel that that person deserves, not only deserves, is mechubad. Is that way. Because if not, you've got nothing. You've got nothing, you just think you're better than everyone else. And when you think you're better than everyone else, you don't show anyone kavod, you don't deserve to get kavod back, nobody wants to give you kavod back, and, there's no Torah to go around. There's nothing there. Have you ever tried being in a shir where you think you know more than the Rebbe? You ever tried being there and trying to learn that Torah? All you think of is, that doesn't make any sense. I have a question on that. I can't believe you just said that. I've got a problem with that. That's all you think. Because if you know more than him, then everything he says is wrong. There can't be anything there. You can't even get to the possibility of Lev Echad. You don't have one Lev. You've got one Lev by yourself. You have nothing to do with that guy. You don't think that guy deserves to be on it. And that's the pshat. The only way that they were made the proper hachanos for Kabbalah Torah was finding honor for their friends, and they were zilcha to it by not only being machabit their friends, but going out and being medabik to their friends, and sticking to their friends and understanding, this is what I need to do. Does anyone get where I'm going with this? Anyone get the feeling that I'm trying to push at something over here? There might be something, an underlying tone that might be referenced over here that I'm trying to dig at. I don't give you much mussar. I may say mussar shmuzin, but it's not really a mussar shmuzin as much as it is more hashkafic issues or deals that you're going to have to figure out while you go through life. That's really what I end up doing. Although there is a shtickle, little bit of mussar here and there. This is the first real mussar shmuz that I'm giving you all year. Because this took a lot out of me this past week. A real lot out of me. Sometimes, just sometimes, not all the time, just sometimes, it's not about an individual's needs. It's about the klal's needs. And when there's a klal involved, your individual needs can go out the window. That has to be decided upon, and that takes work to figure out when that should apply and when that doesn't apply. But the answer is not, I think this is what is better for me. That's not the way to go through life, and it's definitely not the way to go through yeshiva. Because it's not about you when you're in yeshiva. It never is, it never has been, it never will be. There is no individual when it comes to a yeshiva. It is about everyone. And if it's better for everyone that you're not around them, then there's no question. If it's better for everyone that you're around them, that's also not a question. That's the first bit, and probably the last bit of mussar that you're really going to hear from me all year long. And I hope you take that in the right way, and not in the wrong way. I obviously have not done so much to push people. I have not done that much to go, you know, to force people about certain things. But it's an idea, and it's something to think about, something to consider over the next couple days, weeks, months, however much it is, of what it means to be around a yeshiva and what it means to have kavod chaverim and dibuk chaverim, what it means to learn with the chavrusa, and what it means to really learn Torah. It's a perfect week for you to have done this. Perfect week. Because you couldn't have found a better example of trying to understand what hachana l'kabbalas haTorah is. This is the perfect, absolute perfect example. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.